Well, Ulysses, it's a Wednesday, which means it's time for another edition of our midweek mailbag.
And we have so many. We're going to do two of these episodes, Wednesday and Thursday, because we got a lot of comments, issues, concerns about the Rays team that we like. So let's start doing that right now.
You are Locked On Rays, your daily Tampa Bay Rays podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, my name is Kevin Weiss.
I'm Ulysses Sembrano.
And we're the host of the Locked On Rays podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making Locked On Rays your very first listen every day. And remember, Locked On Rays is free and available on all platforms, including YouTube at Locked On Rays. Today's episode is brought to you by Blue Nile. Make your moment sparkle with jewelry from BlueNile.com. And Locked On Sports listeners will get $50 off purchases of $500 or more. This podcast exclusive includes engagement as well. So use code Locked On, LOCKEDON. At checkout. All right, Ulysses, let's get right into these mailbag questions. As you mentioned, we have so many great comments, questions, and hot takes that we'll have to take not only Wednesday, but Thursday to get through them all. So let's start with this one from our buddy out in LA, Ben Rosa. He says, he sends us a very long email, but I'll try to shorten it as much as possible. He says, the past two successful years as a longtime Rays fan grow as an elite, well-respected team is now dissipating as quick as it came. My confidence in Kevin Cash as manager is fading fast. Players I once held a love and respect for is also fading, mainly Brandon Lau. For longtime fans like myself and each of you, we know historically we have owners and a guy named Stewart who continue to time and time again make careless decisions like getting rid of Wendell, Adames, Meadows, Snell, McHugh. This season was welcomed with high expectations, and so far my hopes of a turnaround in a highly dominating division is fading fast. Honestly, as pessimistic as this may sound, I can't see the Rays making the playoffs, maybe as a wild card, but certainly not a deep playoff run. Ben went to the Angels game last month and said he is devastated at how weak and uninspired the Rays looked. I'm embarrassed, he says. Ulysses, how do you unpack this?
Well, I have to give him props first, because if he went to the first two LA games in Anaheim, boy, was that rough. Those two games, yeah, the offense was uninspired. The defense was shoddy. The pitching basically was non-existent. So to Ben's point, he paid a pretty penny for those tickets, and he didn't really get good Rays baseball to watch. Now, the other stuff, the expectations were high, yes. Have they been met? No, not at all this season. I still think, Ben, we've got time, man. If there is one thing that baseball fans should be better at than football fans, than soccer fans, than damn volleyball fans, is that there's 162 bleeping games in the season. We can't just put up our arms down after 2 months and think, oh, well, that's it. That's all she wrote. No, there's so much baseball to be played. And again, just as a Rays fan, a longtime Rays fan, like I know that you are, Ben, then you remember 2011. And now I know I say this maybe once a week, but it's true. 2011, 9 games back, nobody would have ever put green Skittles on Bet Online saying that the Rays were going to go to the wild card and that the Red Sox would fall off. But that happened. 9 games in 1 month. It can be done. And the Rays are not that far off right now. I think they're about 5.5 from first. Right, Kevin?
Yeah, and they're on pace again. Looking at the full season extrapolated, they're on pace for 92-93 wins, which is quite amazing considering the complexion of this roster as it currently stands. Now, by mid-June, we could be looking back and saying, wow, now this team's on pace for 85 or 86 wins, considering that the series against the Rangers hasn't started so hot, and right. they didn't look so good against the Yankees and some other teams of previous, and with Wander Franco just hitting the IL, where's that offense going to come from? But then again, you're also going to have a lot of guys coming off the IL seemingly at some point. And you just got to wonder, at some point, some of these guys that are struggling offensively have to pick it up. Some of these rookies, I feel like they'll be more comfortable, more confident. They'll pick it up later on in the season. Again, I've said this before, the fact that the Rays are where they are right now, considering the porous offense, considering the sometimes inept defense, considering the terrible, terrible base running at times and the pitching injuries, you almost have to, I don't know where the criticism of Kevin Cash necessarily comes from. That kind of,
I think that's normal. I think that's normal for the fan to point the finger at the hitting coaches and the pitching coaches and the manager. I mean, the Bucks stops with them.
They've got a ton of rookies and they have a ton of injured players. Like, it's not like they've got a roster full of Wendells, Meadows, Nelson Cruzes, and go on down the list. It's
no, he has to do the best that he can with that lineup with what the ingredients that are being given by the front office, and he's trying his best. Now, I for any Kevin Cash person that wants him out, I'm sorry, that's not happening. That's not happening at all. That's not happening. I mean, this guy, I mean, I just look, every manager is going to have his good days and bad days. And does Kevin Cash have bad days? Certainly. And do we remember them? Yeah. I even made the freaking thing Kevin Crash moments, right? And I love pointing out Kevin Crash moments because that's the thing about being a fan. Now, when I look around other MLB teams and I look at who is doing that lineup and making those decisions, boy, tell me three guys that you would like to have instead of Kevin Cash.
Yeah, that's the thing, is I feel like the Rays are doing more with less right now, and that has to be a credit to Kevin Cash steering this team or trying to keep this team upbeat. We'll see if it continues with the Lord and Savior Wander Franco being down for at least the next 10 days, but they've weathered it without Brandon Lau. They've weathered it without Tyler Glasnow. They've weathered it without a bunch of relievers.
Boss,
if the Rays make the playoffs and they win 92 to 95 games, he might win manager of the year again for a third time in a row, mind you.
Yeah. No, Kevin Cash is not the person who we should be pointing the finger at. We should be pointing the finger as at Taylor Walls not being the glove master that he was proclaimed to be in the minor leagues.
We have to
point the finger at Josh Lowe not being able to hit anything above a 92 mile an hour fastball. We have to point the finger at Vidal Brujan, you know, not really exceeding expectations with the bat. Again, those three guys, rookies though. So can you really point the finger that boldly at guys who are just getting their feet wet? I don't think that's fair.
If you're going to point the finger, maybe point it at the front office. Maybe they were off. They erred in their belief that these guys were ready to step up to the show, and they were so quick to let go of Austin Meadows and Joey Wendell.
Mm-hmm.
And that they could just assume that Taylor Walls, great defensive shortstop, elite defensive shortstop, for his entire minor league career, and we're going to see him, I think, playing consistently at short for the next couple of weeks. We'll see how good he looks there. But the assumption that you just move him to second, just move him to third, even though he's never played those positions,
it's not plug and play, man.
That was a miscalculation.
It's not MLB The Show. It's not MLB The Show. I mean, this is real life baseball, and it's not just like what we play in Xbox or whatever.
Yeah. Very good point. Good question there from Ben, and he's not the only one that feels like that either. Make your moment sparkle with jewelry from BlueNile.com, and Locked On Sports listeners will get $50 off purchases of $500 or more. This podcast exclusive includes engagement. Use code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON. Again, that is code LOCKEDON. Plus, every order is insured, ships free, and arrives in discreet packaging that won't give away what's inside. So shop stress-free and find your forever peace. Go to BlueNile.com today. All right, another really good mailbag question we got. This one from Christian. He says, early trade deadline look ahead. Who is that guy you think the Rays could go after? Personally, I'm looking at Brandon Drury on the Reds. Very cheap and is a solid who, when healthy, can give you 12 to 15 bombs and has shown some this year to have a little more discipline than years past.
Yeah, I mean, Drury is interesting. I looked at his numbers, but he's sitting around on like a 310 on base. So plate discipline, I mean, maybe for him has been better. But I mean, when you're used to guys like Yandy at the top of the lineup, you know, with absurd on base percentages, I don't know if I would first give him props for a 310 on base. I understand. I do like Christian's actual believable trade deadline scenario. Yes. I applaud you, Christian. I applaud you. That's a beautiful thing because you know where I'm going with this, Kevin, already. You know where I'm going with this. Are we really going to do this, Rays fans? Juan Soto? Are we really going to do this charade?
Wilson Contreras? Salvador Perez? Xander Bogaerts? They're coming into a Rays uniform, right?
The Nelson Cruzes of the world only happen once, because tell me another Nelson Cruz acquisition type in Rays history. I'll wait. I've got coffee. I'll wait.
No, I think a week or two ago I mentioned Josh Bell. That's probably been out of the picture. Like,
no.
I like where Christian is coming from. Those are the types of names that you need to look at if the Rays are going to make an addition. Again, think Jordan Luplo. Think Eric Sogard. Think Jesus Aguilar. Think Brandon Drury, who's having, you know, maybe the thing for him is not necessarily the on base, but more of the power he's shown this year. And Lord knows the Rays need some more power in that lineup, considering Kevin Kiermaier leads the team in homers as of right now. And the Reds are a good team to look at for a trade deadline acquisition because they are going to be selling like crazy. You could maybe add a Tommy Pham to that mix. You know, he'll give the Rays a slap in the butt or a slap in the face. Tyler Naquin, you know, guys like that, maybe. Although, you know, with Brandon Drury, you know, I think right now it's not like he comes to the Rays and he's going to be this stud. I just don't know. He's maybe more of a refined product as of today than Isak Paredes is, but I don't really know how he's that much more of an upgrade than a guy like that, outside of the fact that he does have, you know, 7, 8, 9 years of big league experience. And that probably does count for a lot going into the second half of the season in the playoffs. But Drury's a name to watch out for as far as, you know, again, you gotta, we're not shopping for BMWs. We're shopping for Kias here. The Rays are most likely. So Hunter Fuel Dozier, maybe Chad Pinder. Those are the types of guys, you know.
Yeah,
even, you know, I love to see CJ Cron in a Rays uniform, but he's killing it right now for the Rockies. That he's going to be, you know, their big chip, I guess.
And that would be interesting. Getting a big bopper in this lineup would kind of alleviate those concerns, but then again, last year that's exactly what they did, and most of Rays fandom is underwhelmed with Nelson's stay in Tampa Bay. So and again, his numbers were not horrible. His numbers with the Rays were not horrible, but when the guy's an all-star, you're expecting all-star production, and he does not give you that, then obviously it's underwhelming. But yeah, I like Christian's. That's the type of names that you should be shopping around for. I'm even, you know, everybody's throwing out Brian Reynolds. Oh, really? Brian Reynolds would be good for the team? What team wouldn't be better with Brian Reynolds?
Yeah.
Come on. But
this
again,
was like the Max Scherzer discussion of last year. The Rays are going to go out and get Max Scherzer. Not going to happen. Yeah. It's not going to happen. And you look at Brandon Drury's numbers again, full disclosure, I don't think I was even familiar with who Brandon Drury was, mainly probably because he played a lot in the National League. But his Savant numbers are really good as far as hitting the ball hard and consistently hard. So, and it's not just a case of, oh, he plays in Great American Ballpark. So he'd have, you know, he's got 8 home runs right now. He'd have 3 everywhere else. The home runs are translating to other ballparks. So now, if he was playing in Tropicana Field, he'd have, you know, 8 or 9.
I do want to go back to that Tommy Pham slap, though. Looking at Tommy, man, his numbers are just underwhelming. And in that ballpark, I mean, only 3-5 bombs, I think he has. So that's a reunion that I was really in for during the offseason. Like, get Tommy Pham. Let's see him back. But, I mean, 92 OPS plus, a 709 OPS, hitting .233 with a .335 on base. Like,
again, I think some of that – it could be that he doesn't really have much left. He's on the decline, which very much could be possible, but also playing for a loser in a team that is going nowhere and has no future. It's hard to get up and want to play for that, even when you are on a 1-year deal. So he would,
even when you're Tommy Pham and you're slapping people in the face because of fantasy. Like, I mean, this guy, it just has the biggest chip on his shoulder, and I would expect him to just grind out and don't matter if you're in a loser of his team. But maybe this is how bad it's been in Cincinnati that even Tommy Pham's intensity has actually dropped to the point where it's actually affecting his numbers.
Yeah. So a little advice for you out there, you know, going to any wagers or bets with Tommy Pham, fantasy football, fantasy baseball, or otherwise. But you can take your own money and go to Bet Online, can't you not?
Yeah, you know why? Because our partners at Bet Online continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports information. You can find all of the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's basketball playoffs, Major League Baseball scores, fights, and even next season's NFL futures. Why are we talking about the NFL? For God's sakes, it's June 1st. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
All right, this next question from the Move the Rays to Tampa crew. Their comment here, we are hearing rumors that Derek Jeter is interested in buying the Rays again. He was interested in buying the Rays previously before ending up with the Marlins. But now that he's cut ties with the Marlins, do you think there's a chance he can team up with Tom Brady from and form a local ownership group to buy the Rays from Stu Sternberg? The team is currently valued at $1.2 billion, with another $500 million probably needed to pay for half of a new ballpark in Tampa. Your thoughts?
Well, first, Stu's not selling until the ballpark thing is resolved.
Yeah.
He wants to cash in on that. So let go of that dream. Stu's at least going to see this team through 2027. Okay, that's number one. Number two, Derek Jeter and Tom Brady just buying a baseball franchise. Can it be done? Sure. Patrick Mahomes has a stake in the Kansas City Royals, so of course it can be done. But would they? I mean, it's like playing Mad Libs with famous people that live in Florida who could own a team. Like it's a fun thing to think about, and oh, what could it be? But like, I don't see those two teaming up to buy the Rays. Like, that doesn't sound like anything remotely possible.
Right. And it's the old, well, yeah, let's just have, it's the pipe dream deal of let's just have Jeff Vinnick buy the Rays and solve all our problems. First off, let's acknowledge this. For as many faults as Stu Sternberg has, he has brought a winning organization to Tampa Bay, one of the most successful and innovative professional sports franchises, maybe in history, consistently. Let's remember that. Yes, they don't have a World Series ring, but you can't just measure it all on that. And the payroll sucks, and they trade all their players. I get all that, but it is nice to know that, at least for the last several years and over the last several years, that this team, they're going to be competitive. And that means and counts for a lot.
You're a football guy. Of course you are. You're actually wearing a Bucks shirt right now.
I am.
Tell me, if a Bucks fan from 2003, when they won their first Super Bowl, and a Rays fan from 2003, you take those two fans only for that sport, who has been happiest up to 2022? Has it been the Bucks fan that has seen two rings and then a bunch of subpar mediocre records, even winning like as low as like four games a season?
Yeah.
Or the Rays from 03 on?
That is good.
That's the eternal question. Is it better to win a championship and then be subpar mediocre of a team for a decade plus? Or is it always good to be consistently in the playoffs, maybe get to a World Series, maybe get to the Super Bowl, never actually winning it, but always playing in the playoffs? I mean, I don't know.
Again, I'd rather be consistently good and not win that one ring as opposed to winning the one and then being bad for the next 10, 12 years. Now, I think that recency bias with the Tom Brady mania and hoopla that has brought that almost versus all the sins of the Glazers of the past and all the yep. Greg Schiano's and Raheem Morris's and all those issues that came about. But yeah, first off with this question, I love that this is brought up, but I don't know where these rumors are coming from. Derek Jeter this time last year sold his Tampa mansion. I don't know if he's still living in the Tampa area or where he's situated as of right now. The latest I know with Derek Jeter is that he's started a Twitter account. Like that's the big thing right now. But, and I'm also, I'd be, oh man, Tom Brady, Derek Jeter going in and buying a ball club. I could see a power struggle there. And the history of legendary pro athletes buying, owning, running sports franchises has not been a very good venture. Ask Michael Jordan. Ask Wayne Gretzky. David Sampson will tell you all about that. How inept that guys on the field did it on the field, couldn't do it in the business suite.
It's a different game. It's a different game. So some of these guys in the front office couldn't hit a 90 mile an hour, fastball down the middle.
Right.
But they know how to make a trade, but they know how to, do some business agreements and all that. I don't know. It's a pipe dream. It's a fun question. Thank you for bringing it up. But I mean, when you say I hear rumors, like, but are you where from? Like, we can't resort to. I hear people talking about. Like, is it the people in your head?
People on Twitter, like, maybe.
People on Twitter, who anonymous ones without a profile picture? Nah, fam.
Yeah,
I pass. Just like on Tommy, fam, I pass.
There we go. All right. Thank you for the questions on this episode. We'll have a mailbag part two for tomorrow's episode. Thank you again for making the Locked On Rays podcast your very first listen every day. Now make your second listen the Locked On MLB podcast. That is also free and available on all platforms. As a reminder, if you want to advertise with us, email lockedonrays@gmail.com. Hope you all have a wonderful day. Stay safe, and we will talk to you tomorrow.